Hey, everybody, it's on the Charlie Kirk Show. We talk about the primary. Who won this week? And are we closer to defeating the Democrats in November of 2024? Email us your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Subscribe to the Charlie Kirk Show podcast. Open up your podcast app and type in Charlie Kirk Show. That's right. Open up your podcast app and type in Charlie Kirk Show. Email us directly, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. I also asked the question, is the country in a better place 3 years since the deification or attempted deification of George Floyd? Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com and support our program, charliekirk.com/support. That's charliekirk.com/support. I want to thank Martha from Pennsylvania. Thank you for your great support. Sid from Louisiana, Jack from California, Kurt from Illinois, and Carol from Minnesota, charliekirk.com/support. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the loan experts I trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. What a week, a historic week, and let's just ask the most important question. The most important question is not how much money did Ron DeSantis raise? We'll talk about that. Most important question is not even what do the polls show? The most important question is, did anything this week make victory against the Democrat crime syndicate more likely? Did anything that happened this week make victory in November of 2024 easier? Did we move closer or further away from taking out this current regime, electorally, of course? Or did we put that further into jeopardy? Well, this week, of course, Senator Tim Scott announced for the presidency, an honorable man. And then Ron DeSantis had his, failure to launch on Twitter and eventually was able to announce for the presidency and then decided to go do Trey Gowdy's program, mystery. I listened to Ron DeSantis on Glenn Beck last evening. I thought he did great. When he was talking about the administrative state, fourth branch of government, that's where he's at his best. That kind of policy wonkery, I think that can resonate with a lot of voters. Ron DeSantis has raised well over $8 million so far, an impressive haul. Let's play cut 95.
He raised $8.2 million in the first 24 hours after announcing. That's online contributions and that donor summit that he had down in Miami. And this is just pure enthusiasm because it's historic. The top, who tops the previous record? That was Joe Biden. In the first 24 hours, he raised $6.3 million in 2019. So this is $2 million more than
Joe Biden.
I'd say
with Biden's inflation, the numbers are probably pretty close to the same, actually.
Probably, right. You're right.
This is not good news. Even if you're a Ron DeSantis fan, that is not good news. You know what that means? That means there's going to be a war chest to prolong an unnecessarily bloody Republican civil war. So did we get closer to taking out Joe Biden and defeating them in the 2024 election or further away? This week, unfortunately, shows that we are going to have a $1 billion primary. Did we invest money in ballot chasing operations? Did we invest money in voter registration and better data? Did we invest money in trying to target the voters that we need to persuade in Wisconsin, Arizona, and Georgia? No, instead, this week shows us that the Republican donor class, they really do not like Donald Trump, and they're willing to spend their money and deploy the money in that direction. So let's start with Senator Tim Scott. Senator Tim Scott announces for the presidency. And Larry Ellison, who is the founder of Oracle, pledges tens of millions of dollars. That's right, tens of millions of dollars behind Tim Scott's candidacy. Ron DeSantis announces, raise $8 million. Ron DeSantis will raise $200 to $300 million in super PAC plus hard money. So there's two types of money you can raise. You can raise money up to $3,300 per donor. That's called hard money. That is directly controlled by Ron DeSantis. And then there is soft money, outside groups, super PACs. And I think it's called the Never Back Down Pack. Is that Ron DeSantis's pack? And they're going to raise probably well over $150 to $200 million. So the question is, why is none of that money going to go spent, not being spent on Scott Presslers in Fulton County, Cobb County? We're going to keep on repeating that because that is the operative question. So let's take a step back and then say, wait a second. Who's the real winner this week? Okay, the Democrat Party is loving this civil war. But let's just isolate then the Republican primary. Donald Trump is the real winner of this week. Period. Hard stop. Therefore, if this is going to be a bloody civil war, why are we engaging in this primary? The primary should be ended. It's going to end in a Trump victory. He's a ferocious political lion that will eat you alive. You do not want to go up against this guy. He's better at it than you. He's a street brawler. You do not want to go into opposition to Donald Trump politically. But these people are willingly doing that. There's a great piece in Politico that I want to explore with you. Are the anti-Trump GOP forces starting to implode? Will this week go down as the week that the grand plan to deny Donald Trump the nomination fell apart? Politico asks the question. You look at the amount of money that will now be deployed. It's shocking to me. And then now there is another candidate, Doug Burgum from North Dakota, who is a geeky rhino, failed governor from North Dakota, who's not even popular in the great state of North Dakota, who's going to go spend $30 to $40 million to go finish fourth in Iowa. Doug Burgum might as well go wear a MAGA hat at this point, but it's completely unnecessary. You're not going to be president, my friend. You're not. Asa Hutchinson, not going to be president. You have to wonder, are some of these people actively trying to do the work of the American Democrat Party? I don't say that with any sort of exaggeration or hyperbole. Politico writes, Ron DeSantis' muff launch, the fitting sad trombone conclusion to a pre-announcement period in which his stock sagged, at least among political insiders. Politico continues and says, shortly before DeSantis began his bid for the office of Washington and Lincoln in a chat room with other very online influencers, Senator Tim Scott entered the race in a fashion that further underscored why it's going to be so hard to dethrone Trump. So what are we doing here? Is this some sort of vanity project? Is this some sort of just race for vice president? No, this is consultant driven. You know who the other winners this week? The consultant class, they are saying yes. It is the year of Jubilee. It is the harvest. They are going to make hundreds of millions of dollars, definitely tens of millions of dollars. Points on an ad buy, research fee here. Oh, man, it is feeding season at the consultant class. They are thrilled. And look, Republican donors, portions of them, there is a major appetite amongst some wealthy Republican donors to displace Trump. They don't get it. They don't understand it. They don't like his style. They don't like his tone. They don't like who he is. They find it objectionable. They do not like how they cannot brag about their political donations to their friends in Kennebunkport or Nantucket or Martha's Vineyard or in Aspen or Jackson Hole or in Big Sky, Montana, when they're vacationing over the summer and they go out to dinner with their liberal friends that they might have built a company with or went to college with, and the topic of politics comes up, they want to be able to say, oh, no, don't worry, I'm not supporting that Trump guy. It is so socially unacceptable. It is socially toxic. And make no mistake, that kind of social pressure is driving a lot of this. They want to be able to say, no, look, see, there's Tim Scott. Or there's a more moderate, more acceptable version of our views. And by the way, hilariously, amongst those people, Ron DeSantis is now radioactive. Ron DeSantis is actually too conservative for the Aspen ski lift crowd or the wine moms of Nantucket. It's just too much. He's too conservative, and he puts migrants, a.k.a. criminals, to Martha's Vineyard. And so now Tim Scott is the more palatable option. Don't discount the upper elite Republican donor class. And look, some of these people are wonderful people and they support us at Turning Point USA. We just see things differently. But there is a huge desire to get somebody else besides Trump. And some of it is social pressure driven. Some of it are some legitimate complaints. I hear it from some of our donors. They don't like Trump because they didn't like the lockdowns, didn't like Fauci, didn't like the vaccine. was like, okay, that I think is fine. But I have to hear, well, Charlie, come on, it's just norms and customs and tradition. I just try to focus on an argument a little more substantive than that. But we're going to build this out a little bit more, because as we are going to have this incredibly contentious primary now, guarantee $1 billion primary, that will be brutal. It will make the English Civil War look like patty cake. We got to ask ourselves the question, are we getting closer or further away day to day to taking back the White House in 2024? The answer is we have basically done a U-turn and said, who cares? I want my guy to finish third in Iowa. Look, it is time to consider a rollover of that 401k into an IRA. The investment world is completely different in 2023, and you cannot do the same thing as last year. Woke companies are aggressively implementing ESG. Interest rates are going up and inflation is still lingering. If you have over $150,000, now is the time to move your money to a biblical responsible investing strategy with my friends at Pax Financial Group. Here's how you can connect with Pax. Text Charlie to the number 74868. That's it. Just take out your phone. Text Charlie, C-H-A-R-L-I-E, to 74868. So take out your phone. Text Charlie to the number 74868 for biblical responsible investing. Text Charlie to 74868. Look, the Tim Scott appeal is real amongst a lot of Republican donors. And we're going to talk about George Floyd in the next segment, but because of the left's nonstop pathological campaign to try to misrepresent America as a racist country and the Republican Party as Nazis and conservatives as racist, there is a desire to overcorrect and overcompensate. And even Politico recognizes this, by the way. This is not a controversial take. Politico says basically black Republicans running for office are able to raise money pretty easily. It says here, black Republicans have had boomlets before. Herman Cain and Ben Carson didn't begin with $22 million in the bank and have Senate leaders and plutocrats, to say nothing of respected moderates such as Governor Bill Haslam and former Colorado Senator Cory Gardner at their announcements. And yeah, I mean, look, Republicans have been in search of their own Obama since 2008, as if that's going to solve all of our problems. And it's too bad that you have to look at everything through a racial lens, because Senator Tim Scott, regardless of his race, has a lot actually to offer in a very, very powerful and charismatic way. I think he's a thoughtful person, even though he's far more moderate than I am on certain issues. And so Senator Tim Scott certainly will continue to resonate with a more moderate Republican donor, that they want center-right policies. They definitely want someone who they would consider to be presentable to the Aspen, Jackson Hole, Kenny Bunkport kind of summer crowd, the Hamptons crowd. Oh, you know, this is Senator Scott, and, you know, he's not like that guy that you don't like. He's a moderate and he's center right. There's a lot of white guilt, too, that pervades some of these donor decisions. Make no mistake. And by the way, that's the major financing motivation of BLM, was white guilt. But it's too bad, because I think actually Senator Scott has earned that money, and I'd hate to mislabel it as, oh, it's just people are giving it because they feel bad. But that's a major motivation. And Politico agrees, by the way. Politico agrees that black Republicans do quite well when they raise capital. And there's multiple reasons for that, as I just articulated. So, but Ron DeSantis is pretty upset about it. Governor DeSantis doesn't want more of these candidates sucking up donor money, sucking up attention. By the way, Governor Youngkin might run for office from Virginia. As I mentioned, you got Governor Doug Burnham from North Dakota, who's going to go spend $30 or $40 million. He's super rich. He did a lot of deals with Bill Gates. He's very close with Bill Gates. That dog's not going to hunt. That play's not going to play in Peoria. But sure, go to Iowa and go to New Hampshire. Chris Christie might run for the presidency, which the Chris Christie one is very interesting to me for a variety of reasons. Chris Christie is saying, based on reports, that he will be financed primarily by billionaire Steve Cohen, worth $20 billion, owner of the New York Mets. And the way that campaign finance law basically works now is you can kind of run a very thin campaign political operation, and then you can have a plutocrat oligarch just underwrite your entire campaign via a super PAC. And meanwhile, at Mar-a-Lago, Donald Trump and his team are looking around and they are delighting in this. And I say this as a Trump guy. I mean, the more of these candidates that are going to divide themselves and fracture themselves from a primary standpoint, it's excellent. From a general election standpoint, which is needs to be the prime directive. The prime directive, the North Star, the telos, the purpose, the mission statement, the thing that orients all of our action needs to be winning the White House in 2024. This is a catastrophe for that effort. That is why I have said on this program that the odds of us winning the White House in 2024 are decreasing in likelihood the more that we have these third and fourth and fifth and sixth and seventh and eighth tier candidates going into the arena and spending money on what is a vanity project. Chris Christie, you're not going to be president. Doug Burnham, you're not going to be president. Asa Hutchinson, you're not going to be president. And by the way, can we just spend a second and say, has Nikki Haley's presidential campaign been one of the most depressing and underwhelming announcements? This is a woman who I thought was the future of the Republican Party for quite some time. I still text with her, and I think she's a nice person. We disagree vehemently on foreign policy and other things. So I'm not going to say anything necessarily negative about her because I really don't have anything negative. She's always been really nice and sweet. But she's not gaining traction at all. I mean, there was some idea like, oh, maybe Nikki Haley could consolidate support. And there is not a market right now for what Nikki Haley is selling. She says, well, people want a choice, not an echo. I say, yeah, go to a diner in Iowa and ask them that. No, they want an insurgent. They want a rebel. They want a street fighter. They want a brawler. They want someone who's going to take the administrative state and tear it in half and represent voters in a populist nationalist way, close the border, end the war, put tariffs on China, and revitalize and restore the country, and not someone who is going to pander to donors' interests, wants, and needs from a Chamber of Commerce filtered perspective. Donald Trump is the winner this week. These people are going to fight amongst themselves. It's bad for our efforts in 2024, but for those of us that want to see Donald Trump be the nominee, this is just going to be a bloody English, French, Spanish Civil War. Pick your country. All of them were bad. I don't know about you, but it takes a lot to shock me these days. To see our judicial system resemble a third world banana republic, to see trusted American companies embrace insane and destructive woke ideologies is sometimes depressing. We must fight back, and that starts with changing the way we spend our money. For years, big mobile companies have been dumping millions into leftist causes, and we had to take it because another option did not exist. Well, now it does. Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless provider, offering dependable nationwide coverage on all three major networks, so you get the best possible service in your area without the woke propaganda pushed by left-wingers working hard to destroy America. When you switch to Patriot Mobile, you support free speech and religious liberty, the sanctity of life, Second Amendment, and our military veterans and first responder heroes. Go to patriotmobile.com/Charlie. That is patriotmobile.com/Charlie, or call them at 878-PATRIOT. Get free activation today with the offer code CHARLIE. Ask about their coverage guarantee while you're there. That's patriotmobile.com/Charlie. That's patriotmobile.com/Charlie, or call them at 878-PATRIOT, patriotmobile.com/Charlie. 100% endorsement. I love Glenn and the whole team there. I use it and you should too. Check it out, patriotmobile.com/Charlie. Okay, a couple closing thoughts on this presidential circus that's happening here. And then I want to talk about St. George Floyd and how our country has fundamentally changed in the last 3 years. Okay, so let's get to some. I want to just get this piece of tape here. Asked on Fox, Mark Simone asked, who's running DeSantis's campaign? Play cut 103.
He's not great as far as campaign skills. He may get there, but he doesn't have them yet.
Who's running his campaign?
The Bushes are all tangled up with him. Bush, that can raise him $1 billion and get him all kinds of money.
Jeb Bush. George Bush.
Yeah, they're great.
Karl Rove involved. Karl Rove is involved.
I assume he'll be the coach on the field. I think he is.
But do you know that he's been advising DeSantis?
He's been advising him.
So I don't know the accuracy or the truth of that. I will defend DeSantis, though. DeSantis is a legit conservative, far more than George Bush. One of the attack vectors that is legitimate against DeSantis is he does have some neocon tendencies when it comes to foreign policy. But to always loop Ron DeSantis in the same conversation as the Bushes, not fair. He's a legit conservative. The Bushes wouldn't want the CRT stuff or the woke stuff. No, no, no. And so DeSantis is a true conservative, and he believes it. Now, who he surrounds himself with, remember, in politics, personnel is policy. And so that's I have not seen evidence yet that the Bushes are staffing around there. I've seen some chatter that there's some advising. And if I were to say to Ron DeSantis, wherever Karl Rove is, run the opposite direction, man. That guy has not been relevant since his successful election in 2024. He is completely out of touch with the Republican base. I would stay far away from that. But I think it's important to notice and recognize, though, that the Bush-Cheney-Rove cartel, they are looking for a candidate to attach to. And DeSantis being in Florida makes that proximity, because Jeb Bush has his whole political operation and the donor class, you know, very tightly knit in Miami in particular, they're looking for someone to attach to. Ron DeSantis will be, the more Ron DeSantis is unscripted and does not listen to what the Chamber of Commerce wants, the more successful he'll be. But this is the question is, well, at some point, Ron DeSantis is going to have to make a decision. Am I going to communicate to voters or am I going to communicate to donors? Now, sometimes those are exactly the same thing. I mean, praise the Lord. At Turning Point USA, we tell the truth and we have more support than ever before. Praise God, from the top levels and really big gifts to $5 a month. We have 240,000 grassroots donors at Turning Point USA. So they do not have to be mutually exclusive. They do not. And Donald Trump raises a ton of money from both people that have a lot of money and people that are giving, you know, dutifully $10 a month. But there is a question of, you know, as there's more and more competition in the field, as you have more and more people trying to raise money, which is Ron DeSantis going to build a campaign driven by consultants and money raising or for votes and representing a mandate from the voters? That's a question. I want to play a piece of tape here that I think is important. Donald Trump is taking this very seriously. Donald Trump has already spent more money against Ron DeSantis through his PAC than he did in the midterms. I wish he would have spent more in the midterms. I think that's actually a fair piece of feedback. Play cut 67.
So the question will be whether he closes the gap with the former president or whether this becomes a real brawl. We've already seen the former president, Donald Trump, spend more money on Ron DeSantis through his PAC and ads than they spent on supporting candidates in the midterms of 2022. That's a pretty staggering fact.
A brawl is coming. A fight is coming. And right now, and this is what Politico basically concludes, and they did a good job. I mean, I'm not one to praise Politico. They're the one that shilled the fake intel story of 51 former intel officials, Hunter Biden laptop, and they never apologized and they never retracted. So, and Politico deserves to be held accountable for that. But this is a good article. When you read a good article, you have to recognize it. Are the anti-GOP forces starting to implode? It's a disaster. If you're in the audience and you do not want Trump to be the nominee, this is a bad week for you. If you're in the audience and you want DeSantis, this is a bad week. Because now you're going to have a bunch of people scrapping over 5%, 6%. By the way, Vivek is ascendant. Vivek Ramaswamy, to his great credit, is starting to get on message. He's going up in the polling. I mean, I just find it's just so interesting to me. Vivek Ramaswamy, who's been like on the scene for maybe 6 months or a year, is outpolling Mike Pence and Nikki Haley, who have consultants and tons of money. That just goes to show the party is done with those people. Okay, so as a closing point, then I want to get into St. George Floyd. This is going to be a bitter primary, which, by the way, as I host a radio program and a television program and our podcast downloads are up, praise God, and you know we're behind Trump and all this, I'm actually actively advocating against the interest because a bloody primary is really good for ratings. A boring primary would not be as good for ratings. I don't care. I love my country more than I like being highly ranked on the podcast charts. Yeah, this is, you know what? We're going to have a lot of people listening. We're going to have a lot of coverage. We'll do live shows from Iowa. We're going to do all sorts of stuff. We're going to be right in the middle of it. We'll be telling the truth at all times. I prefer boring and machine building, infrastructure building, than, ooh, a spirited primary. I wish our consultants felt that way. I wish our consultants were like, you know what? I stand to make a lot of money, but this is probably really damaging to the Republic. I'm not going to do this. Horse race is a lot of sound. It's a lot of back and forth. It's super entertaining. We'll certainly indulge in that entertainment. We'll certainly cover it. We'll referee it. We'll tell you the truth and the fiction, the lies. We'll do all that stuff. It's really damaging. in my personal opinion, at this moment of the new era of politics, where we have such a significant disadvantage to the Democrats when it comes to building a political operation and machine. I wouldn't feel this way if we had an amazingly robust in-person early voting, get out the vote operation and ballot chasing in Arizona, Georgia, Wisconsin. If we had a machine in these states, I'd say, hey, let the primary unfold. Let's do it. Let's see who wins. It's not the case. The RNC, complete waste of rations, as we know. We don't have that early state infrastructure, that early money infrastructure. And so this is actively damaging to our efforts in 2024, despite it being actually very good for the Charlie Kirk Show and for our views and our downloads. Okay, let's talk about George Floyd. It has now been 3 years, 3 years since the death of George Floyd. Remember, let's just remember the context of what happened with George Floyd. The context. Lockdowns. People were not able to go to sporting events, gymnasiums, social clubs, bars. There was a lot of pent-up energy. There was a desire for purpose. People, churches were closed. So people wanted to be part of something. Remember, as Aristotle would say, we are social beings. We desire for some form of community. He believes politics, Aristotle argued that politics is the highest form of community because it combines morality and sociability. And so when you lock down all of society and there's no churches and people are sitting at screens all day long, it set the table, had all of the ingredients for a mass social movement explosion. It was just ready. Plus, it was 2020. It was the race issue that most white people are completely uncomfortable talking about, and it just hit it perfectly. Now, it's a tragedy when somebody dies, okay? George Floyd did not deserve to die. Now, how he died is still a little bit of a debate. I mean, the original Hennepin County Medical Examiner report said he did not die from any sort of external force, and then another autopsy came out and said he did. Derek Chauvin was convicted by a jury of his peers and is in prison. I'm not going to get into that, okay? I do think that there's more to the story that people miss. The fact that George Floyd very well might have been overdosing during that point. He was a drug addict. He was a criminal. And as I've said before, he's a scumbag, and I'll reiterate that. But here's the more important point. We basically ignited a cultural revolution centered on the idea that America was in a crisis of racism. And that rooting out this racism has to be the number one goal of American life. So what was the outcome of this crusade 3 years later? Well, the most immediate impact, ironically and tragically and devastatingly, was Black America. White America is actually doing fine. Upper middle class white liberal America is richer than ever before. And I hate dividing things based on race. But white liberals on the Upper East Side, white liberals in the Hamptons, white liberals in, you take your community, Menlo Park, the laptop class, white liberals that wore masks all day long, they're fine. They're richer than they were 3 years ago. They're more financially solvent than they were. White liberals did not feel the damage of this. You know who did? Black America. And Black America have always been the pawns of white liberal Democrats. They were the pawns when they owned them as slaves. They're the pawns when they segregated society. And they're the pawns still to this day. They use Black America for their own interests. And so what is the result 3 years later? We have gone through our own cultural revolution. Are we freer? Is Black America stronger? Are there more Blacks reading at grade level and graduating high school? Are more Blacks forming families? Are more kids being raised by Black fathers? No, the opposite. Is there less gang violence? No. We have seen the damaging of our urban core. White liberal America is more powerful than ever before. And yet the other part of this is the lie has made more progress in the last 3 years in our textbooks, our cultural institutions, and our narratives. Is America in a better place since Floydapalooza, when we decided to burn down our country based on a lie from the pit of hell? So we ignited this massive cultural revolution, and then we were gaslit into being told these are mostly peaceful protests. We defunded the police in certain jurisdictions and areas. We allowed Soros DAs to take over our country, and white liberals went along, and so many white conservatives went along. You know how many white pastors went along too? Pastors like Rick Warren, who marched in the BLM parade. People that were virtue signaling time and time again about racial destruction and how we as white people must repent. Let's go to this piece of tape here. Cut 108. There was a religious element to this, though. As soon as Floyd died, the power-hungry zealots, the white liberals who are always looking at something to attach to make themselves more powerful and to try to criminalize the conservative movement, they saw George Floyd as a martyr. They framed George Floyd's death as an assassination by the conservative, mostly white Christian movement. Nancy Pelosi was thankful for George Floyd's death. It made Nancy Pelosi's job easier to pillage and plunder the entire country. And meanwhile, we were not able to have robust conversations on ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, vitamin D levels, ozone, lockdowns. No, it distracted the whole conversation away from mass COVIDian tyranny to focus on race, because most white people are afraid to be called a racist. Here is Nancy thanking George Floyd for his martyrdom. Play cut 108.
So again, thank you, George Floyd, for sacrificing your life for justice, for being there to call out to your mom. How heartbreaking was that? Call out for your mom. I can't breathe. But because of you, your name will always be synonymous with justice.
Look, Nancy Pelosi is no different than a Southern plantation owner. She's never cared about black people. She still doesn't care about black people. She uses them as political pawns for her own purposes. It is so tragic. Look at what happened since BLM took over the country. Just these beautiful diners, these beautiful shops. It looks as if the virus of anti-racism, the bacterial infection of BLM, Black Lives Matter, did more damage than Russian forces have done in Bakhmut. You could not replicate the damage that BLM did to Black America. More people have died in the Floyd crime wave, Black people, than ever died at the hands of lynching in America. That is a fact. But white liberals are doing just fine. White liberals this summer will be in the Hamptons, wining and dining the champagne, talk with their gated communities, full-time security, miles away from gang activity, while their kids go to private schools, saying that the real problem is white supremacy. Joe Biden will repeat that the biggest problem is white supremacy. No, there's a lot bigger problems than white supremacy, like black dads not being around, like black crime, like racial division, racial arson, BLM, dividing the country, the BLM mission statement that we exist to destroy the Western prescribed nuclear family. The only positive that I can share with this, and I have to do this super quick, is that I think 2020 and the race cultural revolution did wake up enough decent people to see what we're up against. I think that is a positive. I think that the cultural revolution has succeeded in some ways. They took over the military, academia, and so many things. But I think normal, ordinary people now have a reference point for how savage and cruel, brutish these people are. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.